Blog Talk Radio.
That men would praise the Lord for His goodness and His mercy. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His wondrous works toward men. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord for His mercy endureth forever. He made the heavens and earth and all that is. Mr. Rogers will say, it's a lovely day in the neighborhood. I'm telling you, God is amazing. This is Dr. Cassandra McDonald with Cast Mind Ministries, caring and sharing spirituality. Again, this is Dr. Cassandra McDonald, pastor of Cast Mind Ministries, caring and sharing spirituality. It's a great day in the neighborhood. It's a great day, any day you get to be arisen and rise up and be able to say, thank you. Oh, God is awesome. He proves himself over and over again. And as I had mentioned in our last broadcast, I was just, you know, reading the scriptures. What God is doing is he's constantly trying to prove himself to the children of men, telling them, I am that I am, and I know who I am, but I want you to know who I am. And even beyond that, I want you to believe that I am that I am. Wow. Our flesh doesn't naturally believe there's a God. It does not come natural. I mean, we had that ability before Adam sinned and chose what he thought was knowledge against obeying God. But if had he just obeyed God, all the knowledge that he was seeking, he would have had. And that's the same opportunity that we have now. The things that, you know, we're looking at love in all the wrong places and the different things that we're doing, God will reveal that in time to you. Any and everything, he said he upbraideth not. If you lack wisdom, let him ask. And that's found in James, the first chapter. Any man, God wants you to know. He doesn't want you to live in a quandary trying to figure out this maze of life by yourself, not knowing what the outcome is. God lives in the future. And I was talking to my brother tonight, and we were talking about faith. Faith is in the future. He says faith is the evidence of things hoped for. So that means the evidence of things that are coming, which means if you don't have an expectancy, if you don't expect anything to happen, it won't. I tell you, I declare, last week, my subject was God creates calm out of chaos. And on Wednesday when I did the show, I was telling you that every day I have been challenged. Honey, that didn't even start to make a dent in the chaos that I experienced from last Wednesday till tonight. Oh, my goodness. Everything, not some, everything was an issue. Every item, everything became a huge challenge. And it just challenged me. You know, one time when my name wasn't registered, this wasn't there, that wasn't there. And I said to the lady, I said, hold the line just a minute, please. And I had to start laughing. It was just so funny that not something, flight was lost. Double the price for the flight. Just stuff, issue after issue. And you know, I said, I need a moment to laugh because this is so horrible. It's turned into being funny. And I said, well, God, obviously I'm to learn something, but I'm telling you, peace is precious. Peace is healing. Peace helps you emotionally, physically, psychologically, physiologically, financially. I mean, things that God wants to come to you can't come if you don't show peace. I mean, we had registered and we weren't listed for registration, of course, and weren't listed for the hotel, nothing. And then after we walked away and were away for quite some time, she said, I wanted to upgrade you and do this and do this and do that. I didn't ask her why, but I knew it was because I stayed peaceful and it was impacting to her because we should have been outraged at what had happened, just totally. But I'm like, what's the point? I said, she says, well, you know where to be found. I said, well, just create it. I'm here, so obviously I'm supposed to be. And the Lord on every hand. And because I made a decision to insert peace in, I mean, I'm just really learning that we're made to be peaceful and calm human beings. That's the only time our body functions right. And what you have to do is really access who you allow to interrupt your peace and simply dismiss them. Amongst all of this, I was with a friend and an acquaintance that we made during the travel says, oh, what's your room number? And I looked at my friend, I'm like, do not. But like, this won't be peaceful. There's nothing that this person can contribute. She'll just really, and you know you have to be on the alert and know thyself. Know what it means for you to stay peaceful. You can interact and be kind with anyone, but you absolutely do not have to draw them into your bosom. And I thought there's no commonality here. There's nothing that I have. I did minister to her in terms of coaching because she was very fearful of the situation where we were. And I showed her how to use her mind and what she needed to do and the self-talk she needed to have. And so I did a quick coaching, a very strong, firm quick coaching. And immediately for the next 4 days, she said, that just changed me. And it worked. But that didn't mean we would be, what do y'all call them, BFFs? No. That was on a professional level. As far as anything else, common ground, there was none. And it just wasn't worth it. So is that being rude? No, I was kind. It's just that, no, you're not coming to my room and hang out because I don't do that anyway. But I'm telling you, you have to use your head if it's connected to the head, which is the name of our subject for this week. Connect your head with the head or with the head. God says, my peace I give, my peace I leave. He wants us to have peace. And on every turn, the conversation that you allow yourself to be engaged in, are they representing who you represent? Are you just hanging out because it's a little fun and it's funny? But, you know, are you representing the head that you're supposed to be connected with? Yeah, it really is that critical. You think that sounds nitpicky, but I tell you, if you don't nitpick, you'll get picked. Okay? And because what God has for you, if you believe and if you accept and if you expect that you're that one that he has that's going to go into the highways and the byways without compromise, and that you're that one that's going to, you know, take the responsibility of being individualized to represent God. If you're the one that's going to guard your heart and you're going to guard those things that you take in and those things that you give out, if you're the one that's going to exercise with specificity, being very specific, if you're the one and you know that you're that one, because you know what God has called you for, you know what God has said, you know, like parallel yourself with someone in the Bible. They don't have to have the same gender or even the same issues, but their tenacity for integrity and for standing for the things that God stands for is what you want. I can remember as a child, and it was the week that I got baptized in Jesus' name, I saw an animated cartoon, you know, on the three Hebrew boys. It was a Bible story and it was animated. And I thought, who does that? What kind of faith is that? That they would willingly, knowingly go into a fiery furnace because their integrity in God said, I can't bow. I represent God. I can't bow to another God. And that's so in parallel with our subject, connect your head was the head. They were connected with God as their head in such a matter that they loved God more than they loved themselves. So many times we as human beings want to do ourselves. You know, this is my personality. This is what I do. This is how we do it. You know, we got to do us. But who's representing? Are you representing God, your head? Or are you representing yourself? Find the story. Daniel said, I've always prayed three times. I'm not stopping now. They made a law. Anybody that prayed to any other God was going to be thrown into the lion's den. Who volunteers himself for that? Who does that? And he said, hey, if that's what it takes, I'm not changing. He still opened those windows and prayed towards Jerusalem. He's still knowing that he was going in the lion's den. But his integrity, his goal, his desire to please God beyond pleasing himself, beyond having his own life, because he realized that God's the giver of life and no man can take it unless God says so. But if it was to be, then it was to be. So what kind of integrity does it take to connect yourself with God? What in our own personality and our own thinking and our own vices and habits, what has to go so that our head lines up with our Godhead, which is Jesus Christ, our Lord? Because one thing about it, I was looking at the scripture that just came in my mind prior to starting the broadcast. It was that this head is not confused. Okay. Because it said God is not the author of confusion, and it was found in the 14th chapter of 1 Corinthians 33rd verse. He's not the author of confusion. So, you know, us as human beings, we're confused about most things, but God's not. So when you find yourself confused and you find yourself pondering and wondering how and what, check out whose head you're using. You know, if a person has one body and two heads, it's kind of like a freak. It's like, whoo! That's not a normal thing. Something went wrong, you know, in nature. But so many times we say we love God and we serve God and we choose God. But when it comes to choices about what we do, how we perform, how we act, how we represent, it's like, look, man, this is just the way it is. This is who I am. This is how it goes down with me. But is that pleasing to God? Are you willing to sacrifice your speech, sacrifice where your eye goes, sacrifice where your feet go? I mean, you know, are you, and you said, well, man, I have to give it normalcy. Well, sis, where do you want to go? Okay, that's a choice too. You're not going to miss heaven and hell. You're going on one of them. So, are you willing to walk with God? He says, why do you say you love me and you do not the things I ask you to do? In Romans, the 12th chapter, says, be ye not conformed to this world, but be you transformed. It's telling you right there. You're not to do the normalcy of this world. These people of this world, God is not first in their life. They do not love God more than they love themselves. So do you? Do I? Do you love God more than you love yourself? The disciples did when they were filled with the power of the Holy Ghost, and it was an incredible experience to be in Jerusalem. We were there on Thanksgiving Day in the upper room where the Holy Ghost first came. When they received this comforter that God promised, he said, I must go away and prepare for you, but I will send you back the comforter, which is my spirit. whereas he walked with 12 people, when he were here, 12 disciples, apostles, when he left and came back, he sent his spirit so that you and so that I, even though we weren't living in the day when he was here, but we walk with him in spirit and in truth because we accept the integrity of God's spirit to be holy. You know, we accept that God really commands us. He says, first command is to love your God as your and only with your mind, soul, and strength. And body. He says, love your God. That's the first commandment. Second one is to love your neighbor as you love yourself. So those are the two commandments from the God that gives us breath from breath to breath. And our subtopic is God expects you to climb up to the top. Now for the Hebrew boys, climbing up to the top with him as their head meant not bowing, even though they would get thrown into the fiery furnace. See, here's the thing. You're going to be ostracized. And he said, for my name's sake, they don't do it to you. They do it as unto me for my name's sake. But how did they came out? How did they come out? What was the outcome of them choosing God and having an integral base to love him first? The ropes were burnt off of their hand, but their hair wasn't burnt. So it was real fire. And neither were they clothed, singed, or smelled of fire. Even though the guards that threw them into the fire, because the heat was so hot, they died. Human consumption couldn't handle that. So this was a climbing process, a trying, woo, death, striking process, something that they had to climb without compromise. But they did it. They did it. And they put God first. I do want to read the scripture. And the scripture that I chose is from John, the 16th chapter and 33rd verse. These things have I spoken unto you that you might have peace. Might have peace. Ha! That means you got to work. Let me tell you, it is a job to be peaceful. That might come natural. Oh, there were so many times when I just wanted to rise up and set the record straight this weekend, last weekend. But I'm like, I had to laugh. I said, no, it was not worth it. And it was, and everything was resolved. Oh, and resolved in my favor with a little bit of extra extraordinary miracles that happened because I stayed peaceful. Because there's anointing. You know, see, that's the thing, man. When you choose to stay peaceful, the anointing of the Lord is there. And the anointing breaks the yoke. The anointing makes a way out of no way. I was able. Somehow it was, challenging. And I said, body, you will line up. Body, you will stay healthy. I just kept speaking peace to my body. Peace to my mind, kept peace in my spirit, and I got rewarded. Awesome. So back to, let me finish the 16th chapter, 33rd verse of John. These things have I spoken to you that you might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation. There's going to be some climbing, buddy. But be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. And then I went through Matthew, the 10th chapter. And the reason, let me jump back to that. I wrote a message once. Cheer up. God's your cheer team. Whoa, you got him on your side. Going, rah, rah, come on, you can do it. I've made a way. Come on. Woo, cut about a shot. You're going to cross that finish line. You're going to climb that mountain. You're going to get to the top. It's going to be it'll be taskful. But you'll do it. Matthew, 10th chapter, Matthew. Okay, 26th verse. Fear not them, therefore. Man. for there is nothing covered that shall not be revealed and healed that shall not be known. So you don't have to fear. I've watched people lie And as they're talking, the lie just turns into the truth, what's really real. Not because they want it to. They said, but it shall not be covered. And it's in my favor for you to tell the truth. And they were going to lie. They were lying. And the Lord just changed it. 27. For what I tell you in darkness, that ye speak in light. And what you hear in the ear, that preach ye upon the housetop. That's his commandment. Woo! Got to get on some housetops. 28. And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Yeah. 29. Are not two sparrows sold for a farthing, and one of them shall not fall on the ground without your father? 30. But the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear ye not, therefore, ye are of more value than many sparrows. Whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven. 33. But whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father which is in heaven. You know, God expects you to climb. God expects you to roar from the mountainside, from the rooftop, from everywhere. He said, go tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is born. Spread that good news. But who's going to believe you when they always see you outrageous and they see you out of control? God is not a God of confusion. He is not out of control. And he doesn't expect his people to be out of control either. And fear and worry are two strongest strongholds that people deal with. But when you're at peace, you can't have fear. The two don't come in the same packaging. You can't. You have to release fear so that you can hear from the Lord. And when you release fear, you'll have peace because God, he's talking to you. But he'll do it. Every time, he'll bless you and he'll do it. If you just trust him as your head. And let him head you in the right direction. He has an assignment for each of us. And he expects us to complete the assignment. That's why you were born. That was the purposefulness of your presence. Yeah, purposefulness of your presence. There is a reason. I was talking to someone, and it's so interesting. I love talking to people and asking them what their goals in life. And most of the time, you know, I'll say, well, what's your purpose? What's your calling? You know, what's your, I don't know. I just don't know. I'm like, yes, you do. So I said, what do you love doing? What, just a passion. What do you love? Well, I love animals. I don't know why. I can't tell you that. But I love animals. I said, bam, then that's your purpose. You're supposed to do something. So I said, you can have a petting zoo right in your backyard. Just have people bring their pets, and the kids, the parents won't allow them to have pets. Come and have pets. I said, you could be a pet groomer. She said, well, I want to be a veterinarian, but I have two kids now, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, you could be a pet groomer. You could be a pet walker. You can be an assistant. You can still go and be that. You know, hope is not lost. But the thing is, whatever you love doing, that's what you're supposed to be doing. So figure it out. Doesn't take money. God told me long time, you don't need money to be rich. You just need favor. And the favor of God will get you climbing. It'll get your climbing shoes on. It'll get you moving in the right direction because you're following God as your head. Allow him to help you do this climb, to finish it. And do it without compromise. Have integrity for representing God and putting him first in your life where he says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness and all these doors, everything you need that's at the top of the mountain, it's already yours. It's already yours. You just have to believe and expect. Be blessed. In the name of Jesus, and know that God loves you, and I do too. Be blessed.